In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Goedemorgen en van harte welkom bij Hour of Power op deze zondag in september. En we weten dat er heel veel trouwe kijkers wekelijks afstemmen. Maar kijk je vandaag voor het eerst ook van harte welkom. En ik hoop dat dit programma een bemoediging is zo op de vroege zondagmorgen. Bobby Schuller spreekt over Daniel in de leeuwenkuil. En wat doen we nou als we met stress moeten omgaan? En denk erom dat Daniel ook gestrest is daar in die leeuwenkuil. Een mooi Bijbelverhaal wat heel veel van ons wel kennen. En dan zingt Mindy Kim, want er wordt veel gezongen in dit programma. Mindy Kim, Rejoice Greatly. En ook het koor van Hour of Power ontbreekt natuurlijk niet. Bij Hour of Power Nederland hebben we te gast Joke Buijs. En ze heeft net haar nieuwste cd uitgebracht. En dat is een cd vol met liederen van Johannes de Heer. Nou, de ouderen zullen zeggen, oh ja. En de jongeren zullen zeggen, wie is dat? Nou, dat wordt allemaal duidelijk in dit programma. Iedereen, van harte welkom bij Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
And welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here. You know, it's not an accident that you are here right now. It is not an accident that you are tuned in with us. The Lord wants to speak to you in this moment. Would you turn around and shake the hand of the person next to you and say, God loves you, and so do I.
Welcome to Shepherd's Grove, a place of happy and whole students of Jesus, realigning people with God's dignity. We're so glad you've come today. Father, thank you so much that you are here. We're trusting in your presence and power to deal with the problems that we feel as though we're too weak to deal with ourselves. Thank you, God, that you care about us and love us, and even now are at work in our lives. We release our faith. Today we're going to take a deep breath and just let go of all the many stresses and burdens that wear us down during the week. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Christ, our King.
may be seated. In preparation for Bobby's message, the words of our Lord found in 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. Life has inevitable stress, but through it, God is making us mighty.
Every Sunday, we begin by aligning our identity with the dignity that comes in knowing we're the beloved of God. We do this every week for a reason, because if you land here, you will always be grounded. It'll sustain you, it'll root you in order to achieve what God has called you to do. So would you hold your hands out like this? Take a deep breath. Yeah, it feels good. Say this with me. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I am not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. Thanks. You can be seated.
Het Out of Power Choir zong Shall We Gather at the River. En dat is bekend als een lied, lied 82 van Johannes de Heer. Zullen wij ook eenmaal komen aan die zilveren stromen? En heel veel oudere kijkers zullen dat herkennen. En wie was nou Johannes de Heer? Dat was een evangelist die op een zeepkistje ging staan, bijvoorbeeld in Rotterdam, midden in het centrum, met een orgeltje en dan zijn liederen zong. Maar hij was ook de oprichter van bijvoorbeeld de NCV en het Zoeklicht. Een naam om nooit te vergeten. En dat mensen van die tijd nog altijd inspireren, blijkt uit deze cd. En die is volgezongen door Joke Buijs. En Joke is nu mijn gast. Joke, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Weet je dat ik ongelooflijk genoten heb van deze cd? Ik draai hem regelmatig in de auto en dan zing ik luidkeels mee. En mensen voor het stoplicht denken, die man is gek, die zit in zichzelf te praten. Ja. Maar al die mooie oude liederen. Hoe is dat nou gekomen, deze cd?
Ja, nou, heb je even.
Ja.
Johannes de Heer liederen lopen als een soort rode draad door mijn leven heen. En dat is begonnen toen ik als klein meisje naar de kerk ging. En dat was een kleine evangelische gemeente in Den Haag. En het leuke was dat mijn opa daar achter het orgel zat. Dus wij keken op zijn rug, hij zat zo daar aan de voorkant. En hij vuurde de gemeente aan vol passie om te zingen voor onze God. Want alleen het beste was goed genoeg voor onze Heer. Ja. En dan gebeurde het ook regelmatig dat ik op zaterdagmiddag mijn opa belde. En dat ik zei, opa, gaan we weer Welke Vriend Is Onze Jezus doen? Want dat was destijds mijn favoriet. Ja. En dan op zondagochtend zat ik er klaar voor en dan riep hij om, speciaal voor mijn kleindochter, Welke Vriend Is Onze Jezus die in onze plaats wil staan? En dan zat ik daar als klein meisje en dan glom ik van trots, want dat vond ik geweldig. En los van dat lied herinner ik me, keek ik om me heen terwijl ik in die kerk zat. En dan zag ik mensen van verschillende generaties in verschillende fases in hun leven, in vreugde en verdriet. Maar ze hadden allemaal één ding gemeen en dat is dat ze met diezelfde overgave die liederen zongen. En vol vertrouwen op die God die hun hielp altijd, die er altijd was.
Naast dat leuke van je opa en de kerk en uit volle borst zingen, had je door de week wel wat moeilijker op school.
Ja.
Want je bent enorm gepest.
Ja, dat was op de basisschool al zo. En toen ik dacht, dan kan ik eindelijk naar de middelbare school en dan kan ik met een schone lei beginnen. Toen werd het eigenlijk alleen maar erger. Ja. Er waren drie meiden.
Hoe erg is erg?
Nou, het was lichamelijk, zeg maar. Ik werd geschopt en geslagen. Maar vooral veel met uitschelden en vernederen. En als ze je willen pesten, dan kunnen ze altijd wel iets vinden waar ze je op kunnen pesten. Maar in mijn geval was het dat ik te dik was, dat ik lelijk was, dat ik er niet toe deed. En dat ik ook nog geloofde, want ik was daarmee bezig. Ik luisterde naar Ralph van Manen, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Michael W. Smith. Vond ik leuk.
Ja.
Dus dat,
Wat doet pesten met je? Want het is nog altijd een hot issue, hè?
Ja, nou dat doet, zelfs al is het pesten, na een aantal jaren was dat pesten opgehouden. Maar het effect van het pesten blijft nog zo lang doorlopen. En dan in mijn geval in hoe ik naar mezelf keek en hoe ik mezelf zag. Ik liet kansen liggen. Ik heb heel lang een groot minderwaardigheidscomplex gehad over mezelf. Ik was niet dezelfde spontane, vrolijke meid die ik thuis was.
Ja.
Ik was ergens anders, was
en
heel
drie
anders.
Drie meiden hebben dat veroorzaakt in je leven, die wonden.
Ja.
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 Je bent de laatste in tegengekomen.
Die kwam er één tegen. En ik herkende haar meteen, haar stem ook. Ik dacht, je bent nog niks veranderd. Dezelfde klank.
Ja.
Maar, en zij keek mij aan en ik zag in haar gezicht dat ze dacht, dat is Joke.
Ja.
En dat was het.
Ja.
En toen heb ik in de auto heb ik heel hard gehuild. En toen dacht ik, ik was er toch al lang klaar mee.
Ja.
Maar dat.
Je verleden blijf je achtervolgen.
Ja.
En soms denk je dat je klaar mee bent en dan komt het weer keihard terug.
Ja.
Maar wat ik hier zie is een mooie, slanke, jonge vrouw met stralende ogen. Dus ik denk dat je er helemaal overheen bent gekomen.
Ja, want nu kan ik erop terugkijken. En een aantal jaren geleden realiseerde ik mij dat ook. Ik dacht, ik kan er bijna dankbaar voor zijn voor wat er toen is gebeurd. Omdat het mij heeft gevormd tot wie ik nu ben. Het heeft mij sterker gemaakt. Het heeft mij nog beter een soort doel gegeven, een richting gegeven. Dit is wat ik moet doen.
En wat moet je doen?
Nou ja, dit project met Johannes de Heer. Maar dat is ook zo verweven met mijn leven en ook met het pestverhaal.
Ja.
Omdat in die tijd dat ik heel erg werd gepest, in de middelbare schoolperiode, is er één heel specifiek moment geweest dat God heel dichtbij kwam. Ik weet nog dat ik liep van de aula naar het lokaal waar we Frans zouden hebben. En daar stonden die drie meiden weer. En ik dacht, oh, wat zullen ze nu weer gaan zeggen? En ik was zo bang, zo verdrietig. En vlak voordat ik bij de klapdeuren was van de gang, kreeg ik ineens een oud Johannes de Heer liedje in mijn hoofd. Vrees niet, houd goede moed, vrees niet. Houd goede moed, vertrouw hem hoe de storm ook woedt. Vrees niet, houd goede moed. En het was alsof God op dat moment zijn arm om mijn schouder sloeg en zei, Joke, ik zie jou. Ja. En ik hou van jou zoals je bent en ik ben erbij. En het was alsof op dat moment alles stil stond. En heel bijzonder. En dat moment ging ook weer door. Want ik liep door naar het lokaal en er stonden die meiden. En ik ben daarna alsnog gepest. Maar er was bij mij iets veranderd.
Ja.
Er was van binnen iets veranderd. Ik wist, God is erbij en hij ziet mij en hij houdt mij vast.
Ja. Ik was vorig jaar op Zilveren Duifgala. Dat mag ik trouwens dit jaar presenteren. 17 november in de Basiliek in Binnenland. Ik zag in die zaal die zo gevuld was, hoe iedereen met jou meezong. Van ik zie een poort wijd openstaan en welke vriend is onze Jezus. En dan zie je heel veel jongeren dat het nog steeds leeft, die liederen.
Ja, ja, het is een hele grote doelgroep. Het loopt vanaf ongeveer 30 jaar tot 100, zeg maar. Ja. Dus ik heb, als ik een optreden heb, dan heb ik heel veel generaties voor mij. En dat is heel bijzonder, want mensen denken, oh, we kijken naar Joke.
Ja.
Maar het leukste is, ik kijk naar die mensen, want dan vertel ik iets over de achtergrond. En dan mag ik zo'n liedje zingen, zoals Lichtstad met uw paardenpoort, of ik zie een poort wijd openstaan. En dan,
zing die eens.
Welke?
Daar, ik zie een poort.
Oh, ik zie een poort wijd openstaan, waardoor het licht komt stromen. Van het kruis waar ik altijd heen mag gaan, om vrede te bekomen. Genade God zo rijk en vrij, die poort staat open ook voor mij. Voor mij, staat open ook voor mij.
Het ontroert me, want we zongen dat aan het graf van mijn ouders.
Ik zie het, ja.
Ja.
Mooi.
Ja.
Ja.
Een lievelingslied.
Ja.
Mooi, hè?
Ja.
Dat die er nog zo kunnen ontroeren.
Ja, ja, ja.
Ja.
Nou, en dat is dus tegelijkertijd ook het mooie van wat ik nu mag doen.
Ja.
Is dat ik zing die liederen en dan zie je allerlei soorten reacties van mensen. Je ziet iemand die ontroerd is, die moet huilen. Je ziet iemand die volledig in vol overgave zo zit te genieten van zo'n lied.
Ja.
Andere mensen die het helemaal niet kennen, maar die denken, oh Johan, die achteraf dan zeggen, oh, ik wist niet dat het zo mooi kon zijn.
En dat alles door jouw opa. En de droom van jouw opa over vertrouwen kijken van Out of Power.
Ja, zeker. Ja, ja, elke zondag.
Ja. Hij is overleden, maar zijn droom was om te zien dat zijn kleindochter deze cd zou maken.
Ja, hij zei, de Heer heeft nog een taak voor mij op aarde. Ik moet Joke helpen.
Ja.
En dat was in zijn laatste jaar. En hij heeft het nog nooit zo druk gehad in zijn laatste jaar. Dus het was heel leuk. Ik gaf hem af en toe wat taken en hij heeft meegedaan. Er kwam een artikel in de EO-visie en heeft hij meegedaan met de fotoshoot.
Ja.
En, nou, dat was hartstikke leuk.
Ja. Hoe herinner jij je opa?
Oh, als een man die met het geloof op de tong, zeg maar.
Ja.
En vol overgave.
Wat, je hebt de foto meegenomen.
Ja, ja, ja.
Daar zit hij.
Ja, ja, dit was het presentatieconcert van die cd. En hij wilde nog zo graag dat concert halen. En 4 oktober, ja hoor, zat hij eerste rij. En hij heeft genoten met een lach en een traan. En mensen noemden hem opa in de pauze. Ja. En ging op een gegeven moment was ik over hem aan het vertellen. En dan ging hij staan en zwaaien naar de mensen. En dan nam ze zijn applaus. Ja. Dus dat was echt geweldig. En ja, 2 weken later is hij overleden. Ja. En toen ik zijn orgelkamertje binnenkwam, toen stond daar zijn bundel open bij Lichtstad met uw paarlenpoorten. Ja. En dat is waarschijnlijk het laatste lied wat hij heeft gezongen. Ja. En toen ik daarover nadacht, toen dacht ik, oh ja, dat is ook weer typisch iets voor opa. Want nu, zelfs al is hij er nu niet meer, en ik zei al net, geloof op de tong, altijd vol daarvan. Hij wees nog even naar boven met dat lied van tot ziens jongens. Jullie weten toch waar ik ben? Ik ben daar. Ja. Ja.
Inmiddels ligt dit project achter je en je hebt een nieuw project. Er komt een nieuwe cd uit, of hij is al uit.
Hij is net uit, net een paar dagen.
Vertel eens wat van.
Nou, dat is ook weer een album vol met Johannes de Heer liederen. Een aantal die nog niet op de eerste stonden, maar die waarvan ik dacht, ja, die moet er echt op. Zoals Daar ruist langs de wolken, die kan je toch niet overslaan.
Een lieflijke naam.
Ja, nou ja, en zo zijn er ook nog andere die niet zo heel erg bekend zijn, maar die wel echt de moeite waard zijn. Een lied zoals Maar ik weet in wie ik geloofd heb en ben verzekerd, mijn Heer is machtig. Ja, ja. Dat vind ik zo'n mooie tekst. Als ik dan daarover nadenk, dan denk ik, hoe mooi is dat om dat op je grafsteen te zetten? En dan dat je terug mag kijken op je leven en dat je denkt, door mijn leven heen, ik ben verzekerd, mijn Heer is machtig.
Zullen we even naar een studioregistratie kijken?
Ja. Ja. Ja.
Joke, ik vond het ontzettend leuk om jou als mijn gast te hebben gehad. Je opa keek naar Hour of Power. Die keek naar de opa van Bobby Schuller.
Ja.
Want dat was de dominee Schuller senior.
Ja.
Nou, dit is zijn kleinzoon die nu spreekt. Jij kijkt ook. En hier heb je 3 boekjes van hem. Ik ga toch even iets over vertellen. Gods liefde kennen, Gods liefde zien en Gods liefde voor jou. Nou,
bedankt.
Wie weet,
leuk.
Inspireert het jou tot een cd?
Wie weet.
Okay. En ik heb nog een verrassing voor je. Op 23 september spreekt voor Hour of Power onze vriend Nicky Vukovic, die jongen zonder armen en benen. En ik geef je graag 2 vrijkaarten.
Oh, dat vind ik hartstikke leuk.
Ja?
Ja, bedankt.
Hey. En wij gaan naar het lied Rejoice, Rejoice, Rejoice Greatly. En Mindy Kim zingt het en zijn ze een bekende verschijning in Hour of Power. Rejoice greatly, shout, O
Welcome, welcome. We're so glad you're joining us. We believe that God has a word for you today. If you're feeling stressed, today's sermon is just for you. You ever feel stressed? A lot of times when we try and paint a picture of what it's like to feel stressed, it's, you know, you picture getting up in the morning and you get ready and you're running late for work and you get in the car and you bring your coffee with you and you hit a bump and spill the coffee on you, but you got a presentation today. You're running late, you deliver your presentation, it doesn't go well. You get a call about your kid is sick, now you've got to get back to the school and pick him up. You're stuck in traffic. You get home and you get in an argument with your spouse, or you trip on your way in, or you find that bill that you forgot to pay. You know, every day we have the opportunity to feel super stressed out. And very often, maybe you feel that way. Maybe you had a day like that this week. Today we're going to talk about stress and what it does to us. And I just want to argue today that stress isn't as bad as you think it is. Stress is actually good for you. Give me a minute, all right? You know, this is one of the biggest myths of today, is that stress is bad for you, and it's not. There's other times that are stressful as well, when you have to step in to that job application, when you got to start your new career, when you have to get in front of a group of people and talk, when you have to maybe break up with somebody that you care about but you know isn't right for you, when you have to make a major change in your life, when you have to take a risk. These are also times in your life that are stressful. So we experience stress in life in many different ways, and they have different effects on us depending on how long we carry the stress and where we put that stress. Although stress can be toxic, it can make you sick, it can do terrible things to you, stress for the believer can be a wonderful and a good thing. Stress for anybody can be a good thing. Because for you, stress triggers growth. All of us have different amounts of stress we can handle, but you can't have responsibility without having stress. And many of us, in the attempt to rid ourselves of stress, rid ourselves of responsibility, and we become bored and depressed. Not you. Not you. You see, the stress that you're feeling in life, very often, God is going to use that stress as a trigger for your growth to help get you to your next calling. The next calling that you have is always going to be heavier, weightier, and harder than your present calling, but it's also going to be more meaningful. And unless you're stronger, tougher, and more resilient, you're not going to have the spiritual muscles to hold the weight of the next thing God has for you. And so sometimes the present stress that you're feeling in life, although it feels like failure and loss, very often it is God making your spiritual muscles and mental muscles stronger so that you are trained and triggered and ready for your next calling. Do you guys receive that? Do you want that? Begin to look at the stress in your life in a positive light. That much of the stress I cannot control very often will make me stronger, as long as I have the right tools to deal with the stress, which is one, not carrying it so long, being able to put it down, and two, don't internalize it. Hold it on the outside. Now, if Robert Laird is in the back listening to me, Robert, I have a cup that is half full, not half empty, of water, and I'm wondering if you can bring it on stage. Oh, here he is with the bow tie. Everyone, this is Robert Laird, a.k.a. Mr. Daps. Thank you, Dr. Laird. This is an IKEA glass filled with... Thank you very much, Robert. We appreciate you. This is a glass half full. The other half was delicious. Of Garden Grove's finest water. We'll get there in a minute. The scripture from today is a famous passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul, the author of this letter to a church in a city called Corinth, is writing to Christians who are being persecuted, who are not being able to be involved in trade deals in an economic city because they're Christians. They're enduring all sorts of hardships, and he gives this analogy that is actually rooted in the old Jewish Testament. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay, clay jars. The clay jar is a Jewish symbol for the human body because In the Jewish creation story, which we endorse as Christians, God formed out of the dirt, like clay, the bodies of human beings and breathed his life into these clay figures, making them human beings. That's the visual you get. Something like that happened. That out of the dirt, out of the dust, God created these people. Isaiah refers to God as the potter, that he's the potter's hands, and that our life is like clay, and that God is forming out of us and into us the person he's called us to be. And that like clay pots, he's put inside of us in a place that's invisible to everyone else, an incredible treasure. God has formed in you a clay pot, a vessel that is holding immense treasure that most people can't see. In Paul's day, pottery is an everyday thing. It's like saying, in these bits of Tupperware, God has put cold hard cash. You know, it is an everyday thing. If you go to an archaeological site, you'll see bits of ancient pottery, 2,000, 3,000 years old. Nobody cares because it's everywhere. It's the trash. It's the leftover plastic of civilization. And Paul uses that for a reason. He says that although the world can't see on the outside of your life who you are, God sees the treasure that he's placed inside of you. And what is that treasure? The knowledge and the power and glory of Jesus Christ. That it's in your body. This immense power to change the world is in you, an earthen vessel, that and people can't see it. It's invisible. And so he says four things. He says, we're pressed. You ever feel pressed? You feel pressure right now? You got to pay the bills. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to deliver. You feel pressure on your life. You ever feel pressed? God is going to use that pressure to make you stronger, to draw out the inner treasure in your life. Paul had a reason to feel pressed. He was responsible for all these churches in Asia Minor, many of which were being persecuted. He had people who were, you know, everyday happy Romans that are now Christians that are being killed because of his gospel. You feel pressure there? He's got to raise money for orphanages. He's got to raise money to help these churches that are in need. They're fighting. The Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians aren't getting along. And he's responsible to keep the order. You think he feels pressure? You think he feels stressed? He says, I'm pressed. You're pressed, but not crushed. Hey, if you feel stressed today, I want you to know, you may be pressed, but you're not going to crack. You're not going to break. That treasure on the inside of you is going to keep you galvanized and strong, and it's going to make you stronger. You're getting stronger even through the storm. He says, we're pressed, but not crushed. He says, we're perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed means totally baffled, confused. Like, what the heck is going on? Here is Paul serving God, and like very often, he's just following the Spirit, and he goes like towards India. Nope, don't go there. He starts going south. Nope, don't go there. And he's just almost like wandering around, trying to figure out what the heck God wants him to do, and he's not getting an answer. You ever feel that way? You ever praying for something? You're wondering where God is? He says, we're perplexed. We're confused. We don't always know what's going on. We're walking through the fog, but we feel a hand holding us and guiding us. And we don't know where this hand is taking us, but we're not in despair because we got it. You might be perplexed today. You feel confused? You kind of wonder, where is God? Why isn't God answering my prayer? Why aren't things going the way I want them to go? You may be perplexed, but you're not in despair. Keep hope alive, because the only one that can throw away your tomorrow is you. Don't throw it away. It's going to be great. So Paul says, I'm pressed. I'm confused. He says, I'm persecuted. Man, Paul had people lying about him all the time. The name Paul means short. He was probably a little guy. When you read the text, he's probably a touch socially awkward. He doesn't seem to have a lot of friends. He seems to get in arguments a lot. People gossip about him. There's this whole group called the super apostles that say our gospel is better than his. I mean, you ever feel that way? You ever feel outside the circle? You ever feel like as a Christian at your job, people don't like you? You ever feel like you have to kind of hide who you are to do well at your work or in your social circles? You feel persecuted? Maybe you're going through a lawsuit right now. If you've never been sued, it's a terrible, terrible experience. I've watched people in the church who have been sued, and it's this terrible burden. And it feels like you're being chased, persecuted. There's no way you feel like you can get out of this other than spending tons of money on lawyers. If that's you, God's going to give you the victory. He's going to carry you through this. You may be pressed, You may be perplexed, you may be persecuted, and you may be struck down, but you will not be destroyed. And Paul knew. The guy was shipwrecked. In Lystra, Paul was stoned to death, and they thought he was dead, but little Paul was like, all right, time to preach the gospel again. He got up and kept going. You may be struck down. You may just have experienced the biggest failure or loss in your life. Your life is not over. It's not over. Great things are ahead for you. Have faith. Endure. The stress, the storms of life make believers stronger because of the treasure we hold within. You say, I don't have that treasure, Bobby. You do have the treasure. You've been saved and you've been filled with the Spirit of God. If even 1% of you trusts in Jesus Christ, just a mustard seed, that's all you need to get the victory. God's bringing you through. We love you and God loves you. You're going to get through this. So you are getting stronger every day, even though you feel weaker. You know, when you go to the gym and when you work out, you feel weak when you're done. You don't feel stronger. You may feel weak right now. You're getting stronger. That's what's happening in your life right now. That's from the Lord. And so Paul says to this church, he says, we experience the death of Christ, that is, the pressure, the persecution, the confusion. We experience these deaths that Jesus experienced. Why? So that we can also experience his life and power. You can't have one without the other. And that is so important to hear, that when you're pressed, when you're struck down, when you're perplexed, when you're persecuted, that brings out the treasure that's within you. The stresses that we feel in life that we're not in control of, if we give them to God and we handle them the right way, they're going to make us stronger. They're going to make you smarter. They're going to make you more caring. They're going to give you a deeper sense of meaning in life. Stress is good for you as long as you don't internalize it and as long as you don't carry it too long. This has been proved, by the way, in psychology. And I'm not a psychologist, but this is a big myth, is that stress is bad for you. The definition of stress is pressure from your environment. Do you ever feel pressure from your environment? You ever feel pressure? Yeah, all of us do. Harvard Business Review was talking about this stress and that if you have the right tools, stress can actually be good for you. And you know what the number one most important thing people could do to handle stress right was to actually have a positive view of stress. And here's what Harvard Business Review said. They said, stress gives you greater mental toughness. It gives you deeper relationships. It gives you a heightened sense of awareness, new perspectives, a sense of meaning and mastery in life and appreciation for life, and strength and priorities. In other words, there are some people who are not stressed enough. There are some people that need more stress, that need more responsibility in their lives in order to grow to their next stage. Stress, when it's right, grows us. It makes us mature. Abraham Twersky, who's a great rabbi and a psychologist, talked about how stress works a bit like the life of a lobster. It's true. A lobster grows in a unique way. He said he was sitting in a doctor's office, and there was a magazine, and it said, how do lobsters grow? And he said, I don't care how lobsters grow. But then he got bored, and he decided to read. And he read that lobsters are really squishy, delicious animals. Everyone wants to eat lobsters. It's not just humans. All those big animals in the sea want to eat them, too. And so they have this hard shell on the outside that sort of protects them. And what happens is as a lobster grows, that rigid, hard shell doesn't grow with it. Eventually, the pressure and stress of that shell begins to confine the lobster. And it has to go under a rock and take off that shell and grow a new shell so it can live its new life as a bigger, stronger lobster. Now, many of us, when we feel that pressure, we think, I got to get rid of this pressure right now. And sometimes that's good, but sometimes it's not. And sometimes we can't get away from the pressure and stress we're feeling. You just simply can't. And sometimes in your life, that is God calling you to move on to the next calling and a new shell. I think of that rock as the inner life of God. I think that that's our prayer life. I think that when we are feeling the stresses of life, sometimes we need to go into the dark, hidden places of our soul, pray, and give our burden to the Lord so He can give us a new shell. Maybe for some of you watching today, you need to let go of this current shell and take on a bigger one. Maybe you're strong enough to endure a bigger shell. For the lobster, the stimulus for growth is that the lobster feels uncomfortable. Some of us are too comfortable. Look, I mean, I think of my own life and I think about how good marriage was for me as a dumb bachelor. You know, not only did I get to marry a wonderful woman, but in that process, I realized I couldn't be both a married guy and a bachelor guy. You know, late at night, I'm like, bye, Hannah, I'm going out with the guys. She's like, excuse me? There is a certain thing that comes, responsibility that comes with being married, and responsibility that comes with having children, especially having children. Man, that first 6 months, you don't sleep. But I can tell you that not only is a great marriage and a great family worth the stresses and sacrifices of being married and having children, it also makes you grow up. No doubt about it, marriage for some people is a rite of passage, especially for men. Although not everybody's called to be married, for sure. The experiences we go through in life, like marriage, like having kids, like new jobs, they're stressful, but they build us up and they make us stronger. I know being a dad and being a husband makes me a better pastor. I know it, even though it makes me, you know, gives me stress. Oh, I thought that was a plot from Hannah. But you can clap, Hannah. You can. You certainly can. You know, another thing is public speaking, you know, it was a challenge for me at first. I think I had a somewhat of a natural gift for public speaking, but I have to tell you, it was a burden on me the first several years as a pastor. The first year as a pastor, when I got up to speak in front of people, and we're talking in front of like 20 or 30 people, I had to fiddle with stuff just to wait for my heart to drop and relax so that I wouldn't be like, today, you know, like, your heart just, and now it's like after, you know, 15 years almost of public speaking, I can speak in front of thousands of people and it's no problem and I love doing it and it's not a burden. Writing sermons are a joy for me, but it didn't come easy. I even think about how some of the failures in my life was God preparing me for television ministry. When I was in college, I was asked to host the show out of Canada at the World's Fair in Germany. And I was supposed to be a camera host. I don't know why they picked me. I had no experience in television. I was 19 years old. It was probably because it was free. They didn't pay me anything. And I would get in front of the camera, and I would talk about some concert, or I'd interview some famous person, and I was terrible. Cameras do something to your personality when you're, like, there's no, like, televangelism in seminary, like, televangelism 101. Like, they don't prepare you for cameras and lights. And that, I didn't do very well, honestly. It got me ready. And then I went from there, and then there was this television program I did with the Learning Channel. And I, man, that was so awesome. It was this program where they asked people to come together from various religions and debate in speeches how their worldview answers ultimate issues in our world. And I thought this is going to be an amazing program. And I was a judge, and I was on TV every day. Guess how successful the show The Messengers was? You ever heard of it? I know. I had such high hopes for the show. I was like, man, this is going to be a great show. And it was a colossal failure. I thought, man, all that hard work and all that effort, it went nowhere. But guess what? God was preparing me in both of those things for this. Now being in front of a camera is easy for me. But I had to endure the stress and failure of those other two experiences, both of which I had huge expectations for, both of which were utter failures. Both of which prepared me to do what I'm doing today. The things God has you doing today, even if they're a failure, even if you feel lots of stress, He's building you up for your next calling. He's building you up. You can't see it whenever you're in it. There's no way you can see it. It's always in hindsight. But He's building it up inside of you. So stress is good for you as long as you don't carry it too long and as long as you don't internalize it. When you feel stressed, hold it on the outside. Our family has this thing we learned where every night we ask, what was your high and what was your low today? That has been such an important rhythm for us to simply talk about what's stressing us out, what we're worried about, what we're frustrated about, and then we all hug each other. Rest is a scriptural mandate. Rest is a scriptural mandate. And that is because being a Christian is stressful. Look, in the stress and work that God gives to you and the glory and joy and meaning that comes with it, there is always also mandated a season of rest for every person. And it's in that season of rest that God causes us to relax and put everything in perspective. No matter how stressful your life is and how much stronger it's making you, it's going to injure you and harm you if you do it too long. You need breaks. Jesus took naps. Napping is a good thing. You heard it from Pastor Bobby. God wants you to nap sometimes. God wants you to go on vacation sometimes. God wants you to dial back sometimes in order that you can endure more for your calling. So there was a website called newsner.com that posted a story about a psychologist who held up a glass of water. And everybody thought she was going to ask, is the cup half full or half empty? But she didn't ask that question. She asked, how heavy is this glass of water? And people guessed, some people said somewhere between 100 and 500 grams. And she said, you know what? The weight of this cup isn't really the point, but how long you hold it is. How hard is it to hold this cup of water for 2 minutes? Not very hard. After 2 minutes, it's no big deal. But then if you hold this cup for more than 2 minutes, say you hold it for an hour, your arm is going to start to cramp up. And as you keep holding it, if you hold this thing for a whole day, even though it's so light, your arm is going to feel numb or paralyzed or feel like it's going to fall off. And that's what stress is like for many of us. Just as weight and pressure makes your body stronger, you can't do it all the time. We have to go into our rock like a lobster and take a lobster break. We got to put the glass down. Amen. Put the cup down. Don't overload your life. Many of us are saying yes, even though we don't have a yes to give. God did not overwhelm your life. Much of the stress that we feel in life, we didn't choose. But much of it we choose every day and simply don't need to. Don't overload your life. And finally, pay attention to what Harvard calls secondhand stress. You've heard of secondhand smoke, haven't you? Did you know, just in the same way that you can like get stuff from secondhand smoke, you can get stuff from secondhand stress? 26% of people who saw pictures of people who are stressed out themselves felt stressed and had increased levels of cortisol, the stuff that makes you feel stressed. 40% of people who see their spouse stressed out themselves feel stressed. So there are people in your life that make you feel stressed. You might want to talk to them about that. Maybe you're that guy. The people in your life feel more stressed because you're always stressed out. In the same way that people can catch like a yawn, like I'm just going to do this. How many of you are like really fighting a yawn right now? The jaw lock? In the same way that people catch a yawn, people catch your smile. In the same way that stressed people, when you come in and you're relaxed, people catch a sense of relaxation and joy. That's why Jesus calls you a light of the world. So friends, whatever's stressing you out, let it make you stronger. You'll endure. Don't hold it. Don't internalize it. Don't carry it too long. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. God is walking with you as you carry these burdens. But be at peace with the fact that God is going to use these things to make you stronger. Your best days are ahead. Don't give up. Don't worry. God is preparing you for your next calling. And it's good. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we're allowed to take a mental and physical break from all of the stresses of life. But I also pray, Lord, that we would recognize that responsibility and stress are not altogether a bad thing. Let it build our soul and build our spirit. And I pray, God, that you'd give us the hope to trust that every day we're getting stronger. God says to you, you are getting stronger. And so, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God's going to be carrying you through all the stresses of this week. As you carry those burdens, He'll make you stronger. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Weer een mooie toespraak van Bobby Schulen, dat er omstandigheden zijn die je leven moeilijk maken, maar dat God je eruit helpt. En verder hoop ik heel veel kijkers van Hour of Power te ontmoeten aanstaande vrijdag bij Nick in Veenendaal. Ik wens iedereen namens het team van Hour of Power een hele goede zondag toe.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schulen. Blijf in contact met ons via Facebook, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige producten die u bemoedigen en inspireren. De boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.
Als alleen zijn in eenzaamheid verandert. Als het leven zijn glans heeft verloren. Als de stilte onoverkombaar voelt en het leven u niets meer waard is. Als u wilt praten waar niemand luistert, dan wil de hooplijn er voor u zijn. Want hoop brengt kleur in uw leven.